Now, I know that you know what an entrepreneur is, but do you know what an intrapreneur is? Well, today I have the pleasure of having Megan Lujan on the show today. She is a director of solutions and services at Toshiba. Yes, that little company called Toshiba. Yeah, oh my gosh. Anyway, Megan and I are going to be talking about what it means to actually be an intrapreneur. And just a little bit of context, intrapreneur is like being an entrepreneur, but you get to do all of the cool, innovative stuff within a large organization. And Megan is going to tell us all about her experiences and how she actually managed to do this with Toshiba. We're also going to talk about personal branding and why it's so important for you to have this locked up and up to snuff in your corporate life and in your career. So hang on to your hats. I love this conversation with Megan because she is my hero. Like, with all the stuff that's going on with me right now with Lyft and just another woman in tech just climbing the ranks here. Ugh, Megan's my hero.
You're listening to the Side Gig Central podcast, where we truly believe that your side gig has the power to change your life. My name is Elena Ciccatelli, and I'm a small business owner and side gig hustler just like you. I'm so excited to help you redefine what success looks like in today's gig economy. Listen in on honest conversations that I have with the experts and from hardworking side gig entrepreneurs just like you who are killing it with their side hustle. Learn the best strategies, tips, and tricks that have helped others pave their own way and craft their dream side gig. So if you're ready to get started, up your game, and do the work, you're definitely in the right place. Let's get started.
Hey, Megan, how you doing? Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Yes, well, it's a pleasure and an honor. This is such a great conversation that we're going to have today, because not only are you so distinguished in your field and you have so many accolades to your name, I love your message and your branding. So let's take the listeners through your journey and how you ended up where you are today.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'll come out pretty strong with the punchy phrase of I was an entrepreneur before I became an intrapreneur at Toshiba. And I know what it's like to be out there and to have a vision and want to know what it takes to bring that to life. And that's truly how I found my journey into Toshiba. You know, I was an entrepreneur at a tech company. There wasn't really an operating framework with inside of the US. And so I became a partner and started to bring that technology to market. And as I did that, I started to get out and learn about the big companies and sell my product to big organizations like Toshiba. They became my client, and through my reputation and just being the professional that I was, they pursued me to come inside and become that entrepreneur for them. And that's really where my entrepreneurism took off. And I realized that there are so many skill sets that we have as entrepreneurs that when given the opportunity, we can cultivate and truly expand with inside of an organization and learn things you couldn't even possibly imagine as an entrepreneur. And my goodness, I have learned some lessons along the way, you know. So that's the intro part of my journey, entrepreneur to entrepreneur.
Oh, it's so fascinating. And would you also say, though, too, that the company that you're trying to attempt to make this jump from entrepreneur to intrapreneur needs to be forward thinking, right? Are we talking about companies that are really well established on the, you know, Fortune 100 list? Like, how do you navigate that space? Because I would imagine you would need to do this with a company that has that takes innovation seriously.
You know, real talk, I chose to move from being an entrepreneur to an intrapreneur because I was tired of living in the clouds. I was exhausted with the plane rides and just needed that level of security in my life at that particular phase. And I feel, first of all, we need to have situational awareness as entrepreneurs and realize that that's okay. You can do that. And you can still cultivate that visionary inside of you and figure out, you know, what you want to be when you grow up, so to speak. But to your specific point, you know, when I was self-aware enough to make that decision and realize I wanted to actually live in California and not in the clouds and begin a different phase of my life, I sought a company whose mission and vision and values were in line with mine. Because I will tell you, if I don't have that, I'm not going to be fully engaged. And I knew that as an entrepreneur. I knew that I needed to find somebody that understood what I wanted to build, which was empowering the people and creating products and solutions that would ultimately change the quality of people's lives. And that's part of my values as a person. And so quite frankly, I went out on several dates with a lot of very large organizations to try to find that mission and vision value alignment. And for Toshiba, it was an interesting curve for me. I did take a career, I would say at the time, a setback. You know, I had my own business. I was on top of the world. I was doing big, strong things. And in order to have that level of security that I wanted, it was truly, you know, taking that work-life balance to a work-life blend and figuring out how I can live in a corporate environment and still flourish as an entrepreneur. So yeah, for me, it was mission, vision, and values. Because I'll tell you what, if that's aligned, your passion's going to be aligned and you will chase the sunrise up every single morning to help that business meet their mission, because you are in alignment with it.
Oh, it's so true. It's so true. And I think a lot of times when we start to feel stuck in our careers, I hear a lot of listeners that are saying like, I just feel so stuck. And I just did an episode about being aligned with what you had mentioned about what aligned with what you're doing. And I think a lot of times this feeling of stuck kind of comes from what that company is bringing to the table. Now, I want to shift a little bit over to what you had posted on Instagram, because yes, I stalk you on Instagram, but it's a good kind of stalk. Let's talk about your post when you had said about personal branding. And I love the fact that you bring in personal branding into the corporate world. So you had mentioned that like now is the time to build your personal brand. Speak a little bit more about that and why there should be some sort of an emphasis, even if you are in your 9-to-5 in your corporate job, and why that is so significant.
Yeah, the first thing I'm going to just seed out there for you guys to think through is let's throw out Apple. Let's throw out Steve Jobs. Let's throw out Anna, and let's throw out Vogue. Let's talk about Elon Musk, and let's talk about Tesla. I mean, you have great organizations out there that are born off of the mission and the vision and the values of the individuals. And the individuals represent their face and what their subject matter expertise and who they are out there in the world. They're unapologetic in their passions. They're in pursuit of making the world a better place, even if on the pages of Vogue or with inside of a car that's got technology that's going to help save lives or remove the mundane, bizarre tasks that we deal with on a regular basis, like in the case of the promise that Apple brings to life. And so I think the concept of personal brand has hit a trend, so to speak. But for me, it's always been about your reputation and about how you show up and how you represent yourself to your colleagues, to your peers, to the people that you work with, and even the people who are bagging your groceries. You know, those people see a part of you, and that part of you is your reputation, and that's your personal brand. And, you know, I think this fusion in a corporate environment is really coming from people showing up digitally and trying to figure out how they take their thought leadership influence out of the physical and into the digital. It's very much so like what retail experienced when things were going away from brick and mortar and then into the online e-commerce type space, right? You're seeing that now where you have digital thought leaders who want to go out there and make the world a better place and show up digitally and make sure that the world knows what they stand for. And quite frankly, that's what I wanted to do a year ago when I figured out what is a personal brand and that it was so in line with what I do at Toshiba every single day.
Yeah, I think there is such a great distinction that you make there, and you're able to say like this is not something that you should be putting on the back burner when you're then looking for a job, or like you're in the job market and you're scrolling through Indeed and you're like, oh, let's like beef up my resume. So I think it's kind of an ongoing thing, or I think it's also a decision that you make and that you are constantly building on, and you're constantly finding ways that you'll be able to bring the most impact to whatever you're working on, whatever project. But yeah, I think sometimes people think that the building of a
personal brand is a little bit ambiguous or like self-serving or like, let me be very self-indulgent. But I think there is something that, you know, you can really like bring it full circle and actually make it work for you.
Yeah, for sure. I'd say that, you know, listen, I'm not trying to be one of those Insta Life moms or, you know, people who are selling me things off of Amazon in my profiles. I think to me, a personal brand is a story that is always being told. You know, at the end of the day, we do represent the logos on our paycheck, and I am a proud Toshiba team member, but I'm also categorical in the way that I perform my function in a corporate setting. I, in a personal brand capacity, get to show up as my full self and motivate and inspire people from all walks of life that I wouldn't have the opportunity to do if I remain categorical in my function and how I represent that in a digital landscape. The truth is, I have so much more to offer. And this is also my creative way of just going out there and contributing back to the world. And I think that we owe it to ourselves. And I know that I owe it to the people at Toshiba, like my mentor, Scott McCabe. He's my sponsor and my mentor at Toshiba. And you know, they put a lot of time and energy in making sure that my thought leadership was cultivated and that, you know, my voice was able to be heard, that I had a platform to go out and to motivate and inspire people. And I will tell you, you want to talk about self-actualization and self-development and discovery. You find a company that is in line with your mission, vision, and values, and you also find a way to express yourself in your side hustle or your side gig on this, you know, on the side, and your life is going to come alive. Like I said, you will chase the sunrise up every single morning to go and figure out how you can contribute back to this world. And that's what I hope your listeners will find. Find that thing that makes them come alive, even if it's Rubik cubes or, you know, writing posts online or reading a million different books or writing copy. There's so much opportunity in this world right now. And I just think if you tap into it, you're going to find it.
Oh, absolutely. I am 100% on board with that. Now, I know you had mentioned your mentor, and I love that you did mention a mentor, because I imagine climbing the corporate ladder, so to speak, would require a bit of mentorship. How did you go about getting a mentor? How has that helped you, again, kind of get to where you are in Toshiba?
Ironically, I never had a mentor, an official mentor, until about a year ago. And I shot pretty high. The first mentor I ever had was the CEO of a global Fortune 500 company, right? You know, throughout my career, I've actually really struggled with having the hero or the mentor in my life, because I'm in tech and I'm a woman in tech and I'm a younger female in tech. And there isn't a lot of female women out there, specifically ones that I could say, you know what, I want to be like her when I grow up. So quite honestly, I'm of the belief that you chart your own course, and the definition of who I was on paper, having grown up in foster care, isn't the person that I am today. And I feel like it's my job and my duty to be that beacon of hope to people around me. So I'm kind of, I'm taking liberties, if you will, in that particular case. But a year ago, I was selected as the protege for our CEO. It was the first time in my life where, in such contrast, I had been called high risk my entire life, and now I'm considered high potential in the words and nomenclature of HR. And all of a sudden now I am surrounded by a coach and my mentor, and they're caring and feeding and nurturing me as a professional so that I can be cultivated into the best battle-tested digital warrior that you could possibly imagine. And, you know, it's seeking the right knowledge at the right times and always being teachable in every lesson. Cause you're not going to have a mentor. You're going to have to work for it. And you know, my favorite quote is the elevator to success is broken. You're going to have to take the stairs. And ooh, that's what I've done.
That's right. You got to take the stairs sometimes. And that's not a bad thing during quarantine. You know, those quarantine towns, they sneak up on you. So, yes. Well, I really appreciate you walking me through that, because I'm also a woman in tech. Like I work for Lyft. I'm definitely not in the, you know, ranks in the positioning that you are, but I do really relate to that, because, you know, it does seem like a little bit of a brotopia sometimes, a little bit of a boys club. And, you know, there's definitely something to be said for somebody reaching out their hand and saying, look, I believe in you, and I think you have the skills and I want to cultivate. So that's very, very powerful. And I'm like, yes, dude. I'm so happy that is, like, you know, has really made an impact on your life. Now, question that I like to ask everybody, which is the never would I ever question. And I think today, Megan, I'm gonna ask you, when it comes to being an intrapreneur,
okay,
never would I ever.
When it comes to being an intrapreneur, never would I ever give up and walk away when you can't see your vision through.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yes. I will tell you that as an entrepreneur, you got 20 ideas coming at you all day long. And when you go into a particular company, you will have your blinders on and you will have your own vision of things that you think you want to accomplish. And let me tell you, do not be a fool and take those blinders off, because the things that you will impact, they cascade down through organizations, specifically large ones like Toshiba, in ways you can't even possibly fathom. You don't know it all just because you can get it done quicker. There are reasons why things were done the way that they were done, and you need to learn those things and go through those lessons. So what I would say is, you're not going to have your vision come to life because you're helping another businesses come to life, but you are now the integrator to help those things come alive. And you should not give up when your vision doesn't come alive, because you are part of something much, much bigger. So do not lose your hope. Cultivate.
Ooh, Megan, that was so well said. So well said. I love it so much. Well, I know everybody's going to want to go and connect with you, because you are just amazing. And I'm fangirling like crazy right now. So I'm very appreciative of your time. And I would love the listeners to connect with you. So where can they do that on the internet and connect with you?
Well, I got one of those funky names. If you start typing M-A-E-G-A-N, you'll find me across every digital channel. But on LinkedIn, a lot of thought leadership and a lot of tactical things for you to keep moving. On Instagram, you'll certainly find a bit more casual and maybe punchier side of this woman in tech.
Perfect. Yes, go and I will add that to the show notes, so you can go and connect with Megan and make sure that, I think there's a lot to be said about this side of entrepreneurship that I don't think is really talked about that much. And I think there's a lot of times where it's like, oh, go quit your job and go do this untested business model. Well, that makes me a little bit scared. So I love that you bring this perspective, and you are obviously thriving in this environment, and you're just such a great example of like, it can be done. So Thank you, Megan.
I'm a big believer of it. It's all about that triangulation effect. I mean, I've got the flexibility now to maintain my side hustle, to launch my book, and to go out there and help people at the same time doing my main day job. So go find Megan. What makes you come up every morning.
Megan, you are my hero. All right. All right, girl. Well, you have a great rest of your day, and I will talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening to the Side Gig Central podcast. You can dive into the show notes for this episode and for all past episodes at sidegigcentral.com. If you love the show, share it with a friend. And while you're at it, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. Thanks again for tuning in. I'll talk to you very soon. And by the way, keep up that side hustle, because it looks good on you.